Okay, we're on Nun Dalet Amid Beis, page 108, 9 lines from the top of the page. 54B1, second column. The Gemara was discussing before the difference between Maisa Sheni and Hegdish. And the Gemara was talking about if you do Kedushin with a woman, is it your money? Is it Hashem's money? If it's Hashem's money, then you cannot do Kedushin with it because you're not giving her anything. If it's your money, then you are. So the Gemara is saying that before, there's a whole argument what Rabbi Yehuda holds, what Rabbi Meir holds. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says not like this. Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Ada Barava, Halacha K'Rav Meir B'Maisa. The Halacha is like Rav Meir B'Maisa Sheini, meaning that it's divine property, that it belongs to Hashem. And therefore, like Rav Meir said before in the Gemara, if somebody does Kedushin with a woman, with Maisa Sheini, it's not a good Kedushin, because he didn't give her anything. So he says, that's the halacha. Why? Hoyel v'stamlon kavosik. Because we find the Stam Mishnah, meaning an anonymous, nameless Mishnah, like him. And I'll explain. V'alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda behegdish. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda behegdish. That if you can make it unholy by doing something with it, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says by Hegdish, it is a good Kedushin, because by deconsecrating it, it becomes your money, and then you can do Kedushin with the woman. And he says, why? Because there's an anonymous Mishnah that says like him. Meaning like this. Many times you have in the Mishnah arguments. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Kiva, Chacham, Beisilvi, I mean, there's always arguments. There's a rule that if there's a nameless Mishnah, it's called Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah means there's no names mentioned in it. So the din is, the Gemara rules, the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. Why? It's a logical thing. Why did Rebbe, when he composed the Mishnah, make this a nameless Mishnah?
What do you mean nameless? Name of the author?
Yeah, it doesn't say Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Like I mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. A Mishnah just says a halacha, right? So the din is, the halacha is like that Mishnah. Why is the halacha like that Mishnah? Because the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi made it nameless, as if to show, obviously somebody said it. But by not saying a name, it shows like everybody agrees with it. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says like this, Rav Nachman Amar Rav Ada Barava says, the fact we find by Maisa Sheini a Mishnah like Rav Meir, that it's divine money, and therefore you cannot do, page 108, therefore you cannot do Kedushin. And Alochas and Rabbi Yehuda, we find the Stam Mishnah, that Alochas and Rabbi Yehuda by Hegdish, that it becomes deconsecrated, unholy, and therefore you can do Kedushin with it. And now the Gemara is going to say where we find these Mishnahs.
So the
Stam Mishnah is Rameir. Rameir, where do we find the din of Rameir? That by Maisa, that is divine money, because it says like this. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, it says like this. Kedem Ravai, the fruit of a fourth year vine, meaning like this. There's a din called Arla. Arla is the first 3 years
you cannot eat
or benefit any tree. Any tree in Eretz Yisrael, biblical, outside of Eretz Yisrael, rabbinic. Bottom line is, if you plant a tree, the first 3 years that the fruits are growing, you cannot benefit from it.
About the shade, planting of the tree, or when it starts giving fruit?
No. The first 3 years from planting, usually it doesn't give fruit. I'll tell you where the problem is. If you replant the tree, let's say you buy a tree from a nursery,
as a
and then you replant it in your backyard, it's already giving fruit. Now you need to wait another 3 years. Okay, now, the fourth year, the Torah says, you take the fruit, it belongs to you, but you must eat it in your shalayim. It's called Neter Ravai or Kerem Ravai. Okay, I mean, Derech Agav, there's an argument if the fourth year applies only to grape vines, or does it apply to any fruit? But that's not Nelgeir to Argumar. The Mishnah is just saying Kerem Ravai. Okay? Now, just like Maisa Sheni, remember we learned? Maisa Sheni is yours, but you have to eat it in your shalayim. Rav Meir said, though if you do Kedushin with it, it's no good. Because even though you take it in your Shalayim to eat, the Torah doesn't give it to you. Hashem doesn't give it to you. It's Hashem. Hashem said, you can eat it in your Shalayim. Remember, we learned that last time. So now the Mishnah is discussing a din of Kerem Ravai. If you have the fourth year fruits, Beishami says, Ein lechemish, when you redeem it, you don't have to pay an additional fifth. Ve'ein lebir, you don't have to get rid of it. I'll explain in a second. Yeshle, it has a din. I'm sorry, Beisilulaymrim, Yeshle, it does have a din. Meaning like this. You have to take these fruits to Yerushalayim, the fourth year. What happens if it's too much to take? Too much to carry? So you redeem it for money, just like Maaser Sheni. Okay? You redeem it for money. You take the money and you spend the money in Yerushalayim. Now, the din is, by Maaser Sheni, when you redeem it, you have to add another fifth, which is 25%. I know a fifth is 20%, but nalocha, a fifth is 25%. That means, if I have $100 of tavua that I want to take you to Shalim to eat for Maaser Sheni, the halach is clearly in the Mishnah, I need to take $125, redeem this $100 of fruit, take the $125 to Yerushalayim and eat the money, eat the fruit there. Buy stuff and eat it in Yerushalayim. Does this din apply to Neter Ravai or not? If I redeem it, do I have to pay an additional fifth or not? By Maaser Sheni, you do. Right? The question is, by Neter Ravai, when you take the fruit of the fourth year to Yerushalayim, and it's too much to take, and you want to redeem it for money, must you pay an additional fifth or not? So Beishami says, no, one second. In the Mishnah it said, Beishami says, Ein lechemish. You don't have to pay a fifth. And there's no burning, like Maaser Sheni, you have to burn by a certain time? No. Beisilu says, Yeshli. Beisilu says, yes, you do have to. Okay? Now, in addition to that, Beishami, Aymer and Beishami says, Yeshli peret v'yeshla elilis. It's subject to the laws of peret and elilis, which means grapes that fall off during the harvesting, you have to leave for the poor people. Elilis is undeveloped clusters of grapes that are not ripened yet. If you're harvesting the field, you have to leave them for the poor people. Okay? Now, Beishami holds in all this, it's your personal money. If it's your personal money, the Torah says your field, you need to leave certain things to the poor people. It's yours, you need to redeem it, but you don't have to pay a fifth. In other words, Beishami says, Maaser Sheni, you need to redeem for an additional fifth, because it's God's. This, you don't have to, Neter Ravai, because it's yours.
What is, do you have to take it to Yerushalayim?
Yeah, but the question is it yours or is it God's?
What Maaser Sheni is that?
So according to Beishami, there's a difference between Maaser Sheni and the fourth year, right? Beishami says like this, Maaser Sheni, you redeem, you need to pay an additional fifth.
Because it's belong to God.
Right, but it's called Nechemish in Torah. Because it belongs to God. Therefore, he says, you don't have to pay a fifth. When you have to pay a fifth, Beishami says, when it's yours and you're redeeming it. So Maaser Sheni, he says, belongs to God. So Beishami says, you don't have to pay an additional fifth. It's not yours. Maaser Sheni, right. But Neter Ravai, you don't. Because Neter Ravai belongs to you. Okay? The same thing. Maaser Sheni, you have to burn by a certain time. Because it's God. God says it's mine, you have to burn it by a certain time. And you have to leave. I'm sorry, you don't have to leave poor the droppings for the poor people, because again, it's God's, it's not yours. Comes along Beis Shammai and says, that's only Maisa Sheni. But Neter Avai is God's, and therefore, there is no additional fifth. There is no leaving for the poor people. Okay? You don't have to do anything. Beis Hillel says, Kula Lagas, you can take it all in. Okay? It's yours. You don't have to leave peritonitis for the poor people. Okay?
If they're redeeming, both in case of redeem, is not if you take all fruit, take it. You don't need to unfit to them if you take the fruit. Real fruit, we take it there.
What, during the years?
No, during the Maaseh Sheni.
You have to redeem it. No, if you take the fruit, you don't have to redeem it. If you carry the fruit itself,
yeah.
You don't redeem it, you take the fruit. In other words, like this, to simplify this, which is not hard to begin with, it's very simple. If it belongs to Hashem, you don't need to do anything. Huh?
You have to pay 25 cents.
No, I'm saying, if it's God's, you're right. If it's God's, simplify. If it's God's, you have to redeem it. If it's yours, you don't have to pay any additional money. But Beis Shammai says, because of that, okay, if it's... No, we're talking about Neter Avai. But Maisa Sheni is God's. Okay? Therefore, all these dinim do apply to Maisa Sheni sometime. But by the fourth year, Beis Shammai says it all belongs to you. Well, it's like, if it belongs to you, the fourth year fruits, there's no reason why you have to pay extra to redeem it. Right? You have to give it to the poor people.
You don't have to.
Huh? You do have to, because it's yours. Your things you need to leave for the poor people, what drops down.
If you're 40, you don't need to drop.
No, Beis Shammai says you do. Beis Shammai holds you do. Beis Hillel says no. What did you want?
So, when it's a Maaseh Sheni, you already gave a Maaseh. You already gave 10%.
Right.
Maaseh Sheni is another 20%, another 10%.
No, my sashin is 10% of what's left.
10% of what's left is 8%?
Well, you know, you have like this. First, you have to give Truma 2%.
Okay?
Let's say you have 100 bushels. Okay? So let's forget about Bikurim in a second. Okay, let's expect normal. Average is 1/50th to the coin for Truma. Okay? So let's say a guy grows 100 bushels a season. 1 out of 50, meaning 2%, you give to the Kohen for Truma. Now you're left with 98, correct? 98, you need to give 10% of that to the Levi. So you have to give 9.8% of what's left. Right, 10% of 98.
9.8% of the original, but really...
No, of what's left.
Okay.
10%, so how many bushels are you giving? 9.8. Then the Levi has to take from that and give 10%. Okay, that's just now. That's my solution. Now, when you have Maaseh Sheni, you take 10% of what's left after the
9.8.
Right. So you're basically taking approximately
90.
From 89 bushels. You're taking 10%, right? Approximately.
89.
So you have to take 8.9 bushels. And bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. It's Maaseh Sheni. Sometimes it's Maaseh Ani instead of Maaseh Sheni.
So now Maaseh Sheni, what does it mean? There's a penalty of
25%? No. So let's say, let's make it to simplified numbers. Let's say you're taking 10% of 90 bushels. So you're taking 10% of 90 bushels. So you take 9 bushels to Yerushalayim to eat. Okay? 9 bushels. If you take the fruit, Maaseh Sheni, and you bring it to the slime to eat, there's no problem. Just take it and bring it there.
But if you want to redeem it.
What happens if there's too much to schlep? Too much to schlep. Good morning.
Morning.
Too much to schlep. So you have to redeem the 9 bushels. So let's say, for argument's sake, 9 bushels is worth $100. $900. So the Torah says, okay, so you have to redeem the Maaser Sheni, which for its value, which is $100, but you need to add 25%, which the Torah calls a fifth. So you need to take, to redeem $100 of Maaser Sheni, if you want to redeem it for money, you need to take $125, redeem the $100 worth of Maaser Sheni, and you take that to Yerushalayim.
About the other
25%? What's
25%?
Yeah, the $25. If you redeem it, you have to pay 25.
No, you take the whole $125 and bring it to Yerushalayim. So it's yours.
Okay, so you take $125 money instead of...
And now this Maaser Sheni becomes mundane. Anybody could eat it. It's like regular...
And what do you do with the money? You have to donate it to the sphincter?
No! You go up to Yerushalayim, spend it in the restaurants.
Anywhere in Yerushalayim.
The more expensive restaurants, because you have a lot of money.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now.
What's the reason for the 25% extra?
You can't
speak
take
to the guy upstairs.
Okay,
Hashem wants to make a living.
You can take a guest, take it with your food.
You could eat, anybody can eat it in Yerushalayim.
Anybody.
Now, until now we learned, according to Rab Meir's opinion, Maaser Sheni, even though you eat it, it's not yours. Correct? Therefore, if you do kedushin with it to a woman, it's no good because you're not giving her anything. She can take this money that you gave her, the maaser, the fruit, and go eat it in Yerushalayim. Because maaser sheni, anybody could eat. Right? Anybody can eat maaser sheni. It's only limited. You must eat it in Yerushalayim.
You could.
If I'm too lazy to go to Yerushalayim, my neighbor's going to Yerushalayim and have, let's say, one bushel. I say, hey, do me a favor here. Here's a present. Go eat it and enjoy yourself in Yerushalayim.
$125 has to be spent on money?
Has to be spent on food. On food items.
And I don't have to be the beneficiary of
anybody could be the beneficiary. But the Gemara said until now that this is still not your money.
So Hashem wants
it's God's money, and He is allowing you to eat it or to spend the money for food.
When a guest come over,
that's what we learn, like a guest.
It has to be for food or
food.
For food, just for food.
For free, but for food.
And food, like for movie.
Can't go to a baseball game with it.
No.
First, in Yerushalayim, they probably had soccer games. I don't think they played baseball in Yerushalayim.
In the old days,
maybe in the third one.
The third base, I mean, the Super Bowl, maybe. Now, so therefore, Rab Meir held, Maaser Sheni is not your money. Okay, that's clear. Rab Yehuda held, Maaser Sheni is your money. Therefore, if you did kedushin with it, it's acceptable. Obviously, the lady would have to eat that fruit in Yerushalayim. Okay, but it's considered yours. You can do with it whatever you want. Okay, now we have another din. It's called Neter Ravai. Neter Ravai means the fruits of the fourth year after you planted a tree. Okay? Which means that if you plant a tree, the first 3 years, we learned, it's called Arla. You're not allowed to eat the fruits. Not only are you not allowed to eat the fruits, it's forbidden to benefit from it.
Cannot use the shade of the trees?
The trees, yeah, not the fruit.
The shade of
the
tree.
The shade of the tree you can use.
Benefit.
No, you can't benefit from the fruits. First 3 years is Arla. Arla is not only forbidden to eat, you can't benefit. You can't take off the fruit. Yeah, you can't take it off and give it to a friend, to a guy, because that's benefit.
You can't sell it.
You cannot sell it. You cannot benefit from it. You cannot give it to your animals to eat. Nothing. It has to rot. Okay? The Torah is basically saying, you're rotting fruit for 3 years.
Why?
Ask God.
Who? The gardener takes it.
No, you can't, because if I give you a present that creates good relations between us, and that's called benefit.
Can someone else, can a guy come and take and eat it?
It's not yours.
No, can they take it if they want?
You can't give it to them.
I don't give it to them.
If they take it, It's ownerless. They're not stealing.
A Jew cannot just come and eat it.
No.
Even for a Jew.
For a Jew, it's forbidden to eat.
It's like
chametz. Yeah. It's like chametz and Pesach.
Or it can be.
Okay. Or like vine and wheat together.
Yeah.
Same thing. Okay. The fourth year, what do you do with the fruits? The fruits, the Torah says, Kedesh Shilulam Lashem. You take the fruits of the fourth year that the tree grew, and you eat it in Yerushalayim, just like Ma'aser Sheni. What happens, the Torah says, if you can't, or the Halacha says, if you can't, it's too much to schlep, you just planted 30 trees and there's tons of fruit, you redeem the fruits for money, okay, that means you exchange the holiness of the fruit for money, the money becomes holy, netter revai, the fruit becomes nothing, regular food, and the food and the money must be spent in Yerushalayim. Just like Ma'aser Sheni. Correct? But Beis Shammai says there's a difference between Ma'aser Sheni and Netter Revai. What is the difference? Beis Shammai says three differences. Number one, if you redeem Ma'aser Sheni for money, you need to add another 25%. So if you're going to be redeeming, let's say, $100 worth of Ma'aser Sheni, you need to take $125 and bring it to Yerushalayim.
Oh.
Netter Revai, Beis Shammai says, does not need that. Okay? Number two, by Ma'aser Sheni, the Torah says, you need to burn it by the third year and the sixth year. Okay, whatever. Netter Revai, there's no status. You can keep it for as long as you want. Okay? Then Beis Shammai says, concerning Netter Revai, that there is a din of peret and eilulis. Meaning, while you're collecting it, the clusters that fall down must be kept for the poor people. By Ma'aser Sheni, none of these dinim apply. In other words, by Ma'aser Sheni, you need to add 25% if you're redeeming it. Number two, you have to get rid of it by a certain time. Number three, there's no din of tzedakah by this stuff. Anything that falls, you take home. So Beis Shammai differentiates between Ma'aser Sheni and Netter Revai in three dinim. Comes along Beis Hillel and says, no. Netter Revai and Ma'aser Sheni are exactly the same din. Just like by Ma'aser Sheni, you need to redeem it, you have to add 25%. The same thing by Netter Revai. Just like by Ma'aser Sheni, there's no eilulis, there's no other. Same thing by Netter Revai, no. Okay? Exactly the same din of Netter Revai and Ma'aser Sheni. And the Gemara says, 1 minute, my time of the Beis Hillel. Why does Beis Hillel say Netter Revai and Ma'aser Sheni have the same din? So he says, because Gamra Kedesh Kedesh Mi Ma'aser. Because by Ma'aser it says the word Kedesh, Ma'aser Sheni, and by Netter Revai it says Kedesh. So it's called the Gzeder Shava. Ma Ma'aser Yashle Chaimesh V'Yashle Biur. Just like Ma'aser, right? You have to add an additional fifth, meaning 25% when you want to redeem it, and you have to dispose of it. Av Kerem Revai Yashle Chaimesh V'Yashle Biur. Okay? So Beis Hillel says, now listen to this. Beis Hillel says, the fourth year is exactly Ma'aser Sheni, because we learn it out from here it says Kodesh, and here it says Kodesh. What does Beis Shammai say about this? Beis Shammai sover lei gamri Kodesh Kodesh mi Ma'aser. You don't learn out one from the next. In other words, even though seemingly this is what's called a Gzeder Shava means, here there's a word, there's a word, the same word, we learn out A from B and B from A, but Beis Shammai says there is no such thing.
Based on what?
Oh, based on what? Gzeder Shava, this concept was called Gzeder Shava. Here it says a word. There it says a word. You cannot make up on your own. Cannot make up on your own. It's traditionally handed down from Moshe Rabbeinu down. Like everything else in Halacha, Beis Shammai says in this case, there is no such Gzeder Shava. And Beis Hillel says there is. So they're arguing if there is a Gzeder Shava that we learn out Neter Avai, the fourth year for Maaser Sheni or not? Beis Hillel says we learn out one from the next, therefore they all have the same dinim. Beis Shammai says, no, this doesn't have even though it's here it says Kedesh, there it says Kedesh, but we don't learn out one from the next, because there is no such Gzeder Shava. Beis Shammai said, I never received that tradition from my teachers. Okay? And therefore, there is no. And then the Gemara continues. Beis Hillel Eimirim Kemaiser. Now, Beis Hillel says that Neter Avai is like Maiser. Correct? Now, Keman Svirali. Who does he hold like? I Kerab Yehuda. If he holds like Kerab Yehuda. In other words, the Gemara is going to prove that Beis Hillel holds like Kerab Meir. That Maiser Sheni is holy, is God's money. Why he says like this? If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Amai Kula Lagas. Why does he hold that there's no money going to the poor people? Ha'amer Maiser Mamen Hadito. Rabbi Yehuda holds it belongs to everybody. It's not holy money, Maiser Sheni. Correct? And if it's not holy, then you have to leave for the poor people. Like we explained before, if it's holy money, if it's Hashem's money, then you don't have to leave it for the poor people. If it's your possession, then you have to leave it for the poor people. Now, Beis Hillel comes along and says, you don't have to leave it for the poor people. Right? Why? Because it's God's money. But Rabbi Yehuda by Maisa says, it's not Hashem's money, it's your money. So obviously he can't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So who must be Beis Sha'ela Kerab Meir? So we see that he must hold like Rav Meir that Maaser Sheni is holy money. Correct? Because what does Hillel say by Beis Hillel say by Neter Avai? By Neter Avai says it's holy money. That's why you don't have to leave anything for the poor people. Right? And Beis Hillel likens Neter Avai to Maaser Sheni. That means if Neter Avai is Hashem's money, the Maaser Sheni is also Hashem's money. Right? That's like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir said, Maaser Sheni is holy money, it's not yours, therefore if you do Kedushin with a woman, it's not going to be valid, because you're not giving her anything, it's not yours. Rav Yehuda said, the money is yours, therefore you could do Kedushin. The fact that Beis Hillel says, by Neter Avai, it's holy money, and therefore you do not need to leave it for the poor people, right? And he learns out one from the next. That means what does Beis Hillel hold by Maaser Sheni? That it's Hekdesh money. It's Hashem's money. So therefore, what do we see? Rav Adabar, he says, Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Adabar Ava, you see that Loch is like Rav Meir because Beis Hillel holds like him. Why did the Mefarshim explain, why does he call it Stam Mishnah? Because the halacha is so strong, like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, it's like, that's the only opinion.
Oh, right. Does it seem like Beis Shammai is more lenient in this case? One of the few times that he's more lenient?
Beis Shammai is more, it's hard to say lenient or not lenient.
Because Beis Shammai, they say, is not yours. One of them is yours.
Yeah, you don't have to add an additional fifth. You're right. In this case, basically, you're right. Beis Shammai would be more lenient.
Yeah.
Right.
Maaser Sheni, you leave for the poor people?
Maaser Sheni, you take your shlein to eat.
Oh, right. So neither one you leave for the poor people.
Right.
If it's not, so the idea is that it's Hekdesh, and therefore you're not able to use it
for Kedushin. Which opinion says that? Rav Meir. And we just found that Beis Hillel agrees with that. So the Gemara says, the fact that Beis Hillel says the same halacha as like Rav Meir shows halacha as like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yehuda, because halacha is like Beis Hillel.
Like, it's the same thing if you, during Pesach, you take something that's chametz, which you're not able to hold or have, or better than
that. And? Correct. So if a guy takes a loaf of bread on Pesach, okay? Takes a fresh, good loaf of bread on Pesach and gives it to a woman. It says, "Re'at mekadesh yisli bread zu. Kadas me'ashivi Yisrael." It's a worthless kedushin. If a guy takes arla fruits from the first 3 years and gives it to a woman, it's no good?
Also, 40 years also is not good.
Well, according to Beis Hillel, it's not good. According to Beis Shammai, it would be good. You're right. According to Beis Hillel, it wouldn't be a good kedushin. It's not yours. It's yours that you can eat it. But Hashem is not giving it to you. Hashem says you can eat it. Like you said, a guest. Right.
What about if the tree belongs to a boy during those 3 years?
Huh?
If the plant for the tree was owned by a boy.
It still doesn't matter.
It's on the tree, not on the
person. It's on the tree, not on the person.
Well, you said you can sell the tree in order to be able to cut an old. Couldn't that work with this?
Huh?
You said you could sell the tree in your backyard to a boy?
Huh?
That's in order to cut it, of course.
Oh, you're talking about a different story. Yeah. You're talking about taking off the fruits. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree.
It doesn't matter who it belongs to, you're still not allowed to eat it.
If you have 10 HM...
Well, 1 minute. That's why I mentioned something before, I didn't want to get into it. If you ever go to Israel, or take products that come from Israel, it says, in the Hebrew writing, it says it's free from the chashash of Truma and Tevel and Orla and Neterevai, and it says the din is like this. In Israel, Orla, the first 3 years, is biblical. If it's a biblical doubt, it's strict. Correct? Therefore, in Israel, you're not allowed to eat fruit unless if you know for sure that it's not Orla. Because the obligation of Orla and Eretz Yisrael is biblical.
I mean, the 3 years have to pass before you
eat. Right. But that's a biblical mitzvah. Therefore, if I go to a fruit store, and I'm buying an apple, I don't know, unless the store has a supervision that says we know for sure these fruits are good, That's why in America you go to any store you want, buy an apple. In Israel you just can't go to any store and buy an apple. Right?
Yeah.
No, unless the store has Ashgacha. Because it might be Orla, maybe they didn't separate Truma, maybe they didn't separate Mice. I mean, there's a...
Yeah.
Israel is still there.
No,
they throw it out. They spill it, but whatever. Okay? 1 second. But in Chutz La'aretz, it's only rabbinic. The obligation of Orla is rabbinic, that you shouldn't forget... the law of Orla and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Chachamim said, if it's a doubt, you could eat it. Unless if you know for sure that it's not.
Like your backyard.
Like if your backyard, you bought a tree from a nursery, or whatever you call them, and you replant it in your house. Oh, by the way, even if in your own house, you move it 6 feet away from the first place, to start the 3 years again.
Yeah. Change the position. You can't have fruit there. You can't have apples. Right?
Unless if you get wood from a supervision store. That says Chabad Glad Kosher Chol of Yisrael apples.
So that's why the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
External. Those other places, those are Chabad, but there's
kosher. You make sure the apple had Chabad Shechita.
Even if the farm belongs to Goy, right?
Yeah.
If you have partner with Goy. If you have 20 acres, partner with Goy.
I don't remember the door partnership in Eretz Yisrael with a guy. I don't know. You can listen to Shchunar on the Yard of Day with it.
So here you can buy fruit from any store, whether it's kosher or not. Like
right, because it doesn't matter. Unless if you know for sure it's Arla, then you're allowed to eat it. Okay? But here we're talking about, for sure, or Eretz Yisrael, whatever.
So there's no reason to be
Machmir. Where? Outside of Eretz Yisrael? No. That's what I'm saying. Go to any fruit store and buy a fruit. Fruits and vegetables in America are not a problem, except the bugs. But I'm saying, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big problem.
Has any of the Rabbeim ever suggested that the reason for this might be because of the sin in the garden in Eden?
And what difference does it make? Hello. And what difference does it make?
I'm wondering what the reason is.
It doesn't have to have a reason. Hashem, it's exactly because there's no reason for it.
No reason.
No.
We live in America, that's why.
Okay. Now the Gemara is continuing. Rabbi Yehuda beHegdish. And then he said before, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda beHegdish, that if you deconsecrate it, it becomes non-hegdish, and therefore you can do kedushin. says, where do we see a Mishnah? It says like Rabbi Yehuda Behegdish, the Tanan, it says like this. Shilach b'yapikach, if somebody sent something of Hegdish funds, the treasurer sent Hegdish funds to somebody to buy something. And the treasurer and the agent remembered before it was given to the storekeeper. I'm going to explain this whole thing in a second. The chemini does me'ila. Okay? Meaning like this. There's a din, if you misuse hegdish, if you misuse objects of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do what's called me'ila. Me'ila means you have to pay back the principal plus an additional fifth, meaning 25%, plus you have to bring a karban, called Hashem Me'ilas. Me'ila is only when you misuse hegdish accidentally. Okay? If you knew it was hegdish and you spend the money, there's no din of me'ila. Okay, it's a different din, but there's no din of me'ila. Now, the Gemara tells this scenario, the Mishnah says. I am a treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. I didn't know it's Beis HaMikdash money. I thought it was my money. Okay? I thought it was my money. It was a $10 bill. It really would belong to the Beis HaMikdash, but I didn't know that. I had it in my pocket. I thought, my money. I call you in. I said, do me a favor. Go to the store and buy me $10 worth of cake. Okay? Before you got to the store, I remembered, oh my God, that's Hegdish money.
Before you got to the store.
Not only did I remember, you remembered. So you knew it was Hegdish before you gave the guy the money. Okay? I knew and you knew. Now, you give the storekeeper the money. Whose money is it? Beis HaMikdash. Okay. What happens if the storekeeper spends it for his personal needs? So the storekeeper, he's the one that has to do Me'ila. Because he's the only one that spent it when he didn't know it was Hegdish. The treasurer knew. The guy, the agent remembered. The storekeeper didn't remember.
Storekeeper didn't know.
Huh? Right, that's why there's Me'ila. Me'ila is only when you don't know.
And the two guys.
So one second, so this is what the Mishnah says. It says in Mishnah, see it again, Tanan. Shilach b'yapikach. The treasurer sent Hegdish money that he didn't know at the time was Hegdish. He sent it in the hands of a competent normal person. Pikach means a normal person. And the Gemara explains what it means is, the treasurer remembered and the agent remembered before he gave the money to the storekeeper. The chemini malach sheyetzi. When the chemini spends the money, he has to do me'ila. Again, this that he has to pay the additional 25%. Okay, now
that sounds like a setup.
Yeah.
The question is like this. Bemazed, did the money become deconsecrated?
What do you mean?
When the treasurer sent the money, uh-huh, did it become deconsecrated? No.
It wasn't spent yet.
Because if it became deconsecrated, the agent would have to do it or the treasurer would have to do it. Then it already became deconsecrated. The storekeeper never spent Beis HaMikdash money. It wasn't holy anymore. Right? So obviously, it never became deconsecrated until the storekeeper
spends it.
Huh?
Unless you give it to the storekeeper.
Right.
How can you deconsecrate it?
So the poor storekeeper who didn't know anything, it gets in trouble.
The storekeeper is going.
Money is not deconsecrated only because that's intentional. Because now, the agent and the treasurer, before it was spent, they knew it was the Beis HaMikdash's. So, that means, like Rabbi Yehuda said, b'mezid. If it's intentional, it doesn't become deconsecrated.
Did they have a helen? Did they
Only before.
Wait, what do you mean by deconsecrated?
It's not holy anymore.
Because they know this is the
as long as they know it's holy, it's holy.
No.
When they exchange the money for the produce, when they redeem the produce,
yeah,
the money that's in their hands now is kaddish. This particular money.
By the storekeeper story?
No, before we get there. The farmer who redeemed his netaravay with $125. This particular $125 is kaddish and has only be spent in Yerushalayim.
Only has to be spent in Yerushalayim.
He can't use another $125.
No.
And he can't spend it for anything else.
Right.
Okay. They can have
One second. No.
So let's say they knew this is kaddish, but they went and at the moment that they were spending the money, they blacked out. And they spent the money. We still call this.
We mean they blacked out.
They forgot that they can't spend this money. They only remember.
It's not meila. Is only in the hekdish. This is God's money, but it's no hekdish. It's no meila. Maisesheni.
I'm just saying. After they spent the money already, that's when they remembered that they shouldn't have. But they knew the milachatchila that this is hekdish money that you shouldn't spend.
Hekdish or maisesheni money. You're talking about the hekdish case or the maisesheni money.
I'm talking about netarevai money.
Netarevai is not hekdish.
Netarevai
money. It's not based on mikdash.
Well, when you redeem the money,
it's not to the Beis Hamikdash. It has nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. This case of Hegdish money, Rab Yehuda in the Mishnah said that if you do Kedushin intentionally, right? What did Yehuda say in the Mishnah? B'sheiga Kiddush b'meizadai Kiddush. That if you knew it was Hegdish money and you gave it to her, it's not good. Loy Kiddush. It's not a good Kedushin. Why isn't it a good Kedushin? Because it's still God's money. The only way it becomes unholy is if you did it accidentally, Rabbi Yehuda says. If you did it intentional, then it's not it remains holy. And we see from this Mishnah, that's the halach. Why? I'm a treasurer. I send you to spend money by the storekeeper. When I give you the money, it wasn't spent yet. It's not misused. You're just holding it, right?
So you know
I remembered and you remembered. Now, it's intentional when you gave it to the storekeeper, correct? Is the money still holy or not?
Yes.
It's hegdish. How do I know it's hegdish? Because if it's not hegdish anymore, why should the storekeeper have to do me'ila? He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's not hegdish.
Yeah.
The fact that the Mishnah says the storekeeper has to do me'ila means the money's still holy.
Yeah, that's solid.
Even though I knew it wasn't, it was hegdish. Mm-hmm. And you knew it was hegdish because we both remembered. But Rabbi Yehuda says, and this is what the Mishnah says clearly like Rabbi Yehuda, when it's done intentional, the money still remains holy.
How does he know that?
He remembered the treasurer.
Housekeeper, how you know that? Housekeeper, how you know this?
The storekeeper didn't know.
No, so
how is he supposed to bring the 25?
No, after he finds out later. Oh, later they told him, by the way, this was holy money.
And that's his fault?
That's the whole thing is when you did it accidental. That's what Abiud is saying. When you did it intentional, the money still remains holy.
Yeah, but the storekeeper didn't know any of this.
That's why he's doing me'ila.
So what happens to the two guys who knew?
Can he get a lawyer? Those guys?
You can get a liar if you want, not a lawyer.
What happens
you can get
to
a liar.
The guys who knew and spent it anyway? I mean,
so therefore, according to Abiud, the money still stays hegdish.
So what happened?
Therefore, the Abiyuda says, if you take this Hegdish money that you know is Hegdish, and you're going to do Kedushin with a woman, it's not going to be valid. Because it's God's money. You can't give God's money for Kedushin. You've got to give your money.
What's the penalty for spending Hegdish money?
When intentional?
Yeah, like
there's punishment, but it's not Me'ila. It's a different punishment. It's not the din of Me'ila. In other words, Hashem says, and this, it's by the way, it's logical. Hashem says, intentionally, you can't make this money non-holy. If you did it accidentally, Hashem says, then you can make it unholy.
So in case of a Kedushin, if the man knows it's Hegdish, gives it to the woman.
So it's all needed.
The woman accepts it. and spend it, and then says, oh, by the way, I remember it was Hekdesh, so she has to pay the fine, because she didn't know. If she's, and then she's not.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, she would have to pay a fine.
And she's not married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, whole, yeah. She's not married, and she has to do Me'ilah, correct.
This is all leading to that now.
No, the Gemara is done with this. I mean, the Gemara just brought a proof from this Mishnah, which is nameless, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if you intentionally misspend Hegdish, it still remains Hegdish. And that's why the storekeeper does the Me'ilah, not the agent or the treasurer.
So therefore, a storekeeper could use that money to get married.
So, yeah, it's not acceptable.
If he took the money later, right. Correct. Because he does it accidentally, right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kedusha would be valid.
Correct.
What if the storekeeper spent the money and gave it to somebody else, and somebody else to somebody else? Does the money?
No, once he does it the first time, it becomes non-Hegdish. But
why is the provision that it becomes not holy? You're already giving the person a chance to make up for it. Why does it have to be not holy also? You're giving a person a chance to give a fine and come and do it. Why do you have
the question is by misusing Hegdish, what happens to the money? Does it still remain holy or doesn't it?
And the answer is no.
Well, that's the argument of Rabbi Yehuda. Intentional, accidental. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara seems to imply that Allah is like that now, right? That it's only if it's done accidental. If it's done intentional, it doesn't matter. But
what's the purpose of that? I'm curious.
The question is it your money if you do Kedusha with a woman? Did you give her anything or not? Did you or didn't you give her? That's the question.
If she accepts it and she spends it, and then later...
She has to do Me'ilah.
She has to do Me'ilah?
Yeah.
And there's no get because there was another marriage.
Right, she's not married, and she has to do Me'ilah.
She's losing.
Not only she's not getting,
she has to pay more
than what she's getting. Poor woman.
What did Moshe say before? Where if it does something later, then it's still good. I missed that part. He said that with Kedushin, Moshe said something, if she does something later, or he does something later.
No, if the woman later spends the money, she has to do Me'ilah, so she's... has to pay an additional 25% of what she's getting.
And the marriage is no good.
Right.
If she's working in a company, okay?
Yeah.
You're stealing from the company.
You steal?
I steal.
Jews never steal.
Okay. You're stealing. And do this money, Isha, is acceptable or not?
Well, the marriage is no good.
If you acquire the money, yes. If you don't acquire the money, no.
What do you mean acquire? You're stealing, the
pocket. No, if the guy gave a pope, and you change the possession of it, yeah, then it's a good kedusha.
Yeah. What's the difference with this money? The kedusha money is the same.
You're not stealing it. It's done accidental. It's done accidental. It's different. If you steal money and the owner didn't give up hope yet, you can't do kedusha with a woman. You know, the Gemara says, if I steal something from you, let's say I steal that Gemara from him, from the Moshe, and I make it Hegdish. The Gemara says, Shneyem ein yechelim lekadish. The owner can't make it Hegdish? What happens if somebody steals your Gemara, and you want to get back at the guy, so you say, you know what? The Gemara is Hegdish. You can't, because you don't have it. The Ganav can't make it Hegdish either, because it's not his. In other words, you can't make it. Now, what happens if we want to get back at each other? I steal your Gemara, so you want to get angry at me, so you say, you know what? It's Hegdish. And I have to give it back to you, so I'm going to say, no, it's Hegdish. I can make it Hegdish, and you can make it Hegdish. I can't make it Hegdish because it's not mine. It's yours, right? You can't make it Hegdish because it's not in your possession now. How can you make it Hegdish?
But you could say, I'm not giving hope, so that guy can't really have...
Correct. Correct.
Not giving what?
Hope. Give up hope.
Oh.
It's called Yish.
Oh, that you'll find it.
Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Okay, the Gemara, so the Gemara's bottom line over here is like this. The Gemara brought by Meiser, we proved from Beis Hillel like Rab Meir. By Hegdish, we proved like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to ask, 1 minute. I'll show you a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, even by Meiser. That Meiser Sheni, okay, is not God's money. Okay, why? So now we learned in the Mishnah, HaPay the Meiser Sheni Shalei, if somebody redeems his own Meiser Sheni money, Meisif Olav Chamishisei. You have to add a fifth. Like we said, if you want to redeem your Maisa Sheni, you need to add a fifth, right? Bei Mishalei, whether the Maisa Sheni was originally his, Bei Shenitin Lei B'maton, or somebody gave it to you as a gift. This is what this Mishnah says. Mishnah says a very simple din. If I have Maisa Sheni, right? I'm too lazy to take it to Yerushalayim, too much of a schlep, I can redeem it. When you redeem it, we learned, you need to pay an additional fifth. 25%. Then the Mishnah adds, not only if it's yours, but if somebody gave it to you as a gift, it wasn't yours originally. Somebody gave it to you as a gift, and you want to redeem it, you also have to redeem it for 25%. Okay? So the Gemara says, my, what does this mean? Ile merab meir he. If it's Rav Meir, this Mishnah doesn't make sense. Why? Because Rav Meir says, Maisa Sheni belongs to who? To Hashem. Mm. Right? How can I give you a present what doesn't belong to me? If it's God's money, the Mishnah says, if the guy gave it to you with a gift, right, then you have to redeem it also for 25% more, right? So it says, who does it go like? If it goes Rav Meir, Mimatsa Yoevli B'matana, Ha'ama Maisa Mamin Gavayohu. The mayor says, Maisa Sheni is God's money. How can I give you a present of something that doesn't belong to me? So he must say, it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds Maisa Sheni is your money. Right? Therefore, if you give it away as a present to somebody, and they want to redeem it, they have to pay an additional fifth. So you see from here, this Mishnah, clearly paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that Hegdish, I mean, Maisa Sheni is your money, not the Grab Meir that says it's God's money. So the Gemara says, no, La'elam Rab Meir. It really goes like Rab Meir. Aye, if it's Rab Meir, why does it say this is your money, that somebody can give it to you as a gift, when Rab Meir holds it's God's money, and God's money I can't give you as a gift? He says, it's speaking to him before it was still Tevel. Meaning, there was no Maisa Sheni separated yet. Because Savin, he says, and he holds, Matonish Lehurmu, Kamish Lehurmu Damyan. If they were not tithed yet, okay, they're not regarded as if they were separated. It's a very interesting concept. Very simple, very logical. You have grain, okay? I need to separate Maisa Sheni. Okay, I need to separate 10%. Now, before I separate it, in this bundle is 10% of Maisa Sheni. Right? Mm. Before I separated Maisa Sheni, is any of that money Maisa Sheni? Or is it still mine?
Still yours. Still yours.
That's what even though,
unless you didn't separate it,
I didn't separate anything.
So everything, you don't know which one.
But the question is, 1 minute. But it's weird. But regardless, in this money, there is 10% Maisa Sheni.
Yeah,
you just haven't separated.
So therefore the Gemara says like this. You know what the case is? Normally Maisa Sheni, the halacha is like Rav Meir, that it's God's money. Why does this Mishnah say that it's, somebody could give it to you as a present? That means it's not God's money, it's your money. So very simple. The case is somebody gave it to you before Maisa Sheni was separated.
I told you that you have to separate it.
Right. Now, even though there's Maisa Sheni money in it, but the fact that you didn't separate it makes it unseparated. So now, in this bundle, do you have Maisa Sheni money?
Yes.
No.
You have it, but it's not...
Right, but if it's not separated, it's not Maisa Sheni.
Yeah. It's potential
Maisa Sheni. So whose money is it now?
It's yours.
Now it's not God's money.
You're right. Everything is yours.
Because they didn't separate yet. Once they separate, Maaser Sheni, Rav Meir says, then it becomes God's money.
Yeah, the whole,
but if somebody gave it to me as a gift before Maaser Sheni was separated, yeah. See, the Gemara thought before, they're speaking, a guy took Maaser Sheni and gave it to you. So then the Gemara says, how could he give it to you as a gift if it's God's money? So therefore, it's a proof to Rabbi Yehuda that holds it's not God's money. So Gemara says, no, it's the mission could go according to Rav Meir too. How can you give a gift of God's money? He said, because you gave it as a gift before you separated anything. So there's no Maaser Sheni money in here yet.
You're right.
And therefore, it's your money.
Exactly.
And therefore, if you get it as a gift, and now you want to separate Maaser Sheni, you need to add 10%. I mean,
25%. And then you cannot use it before you do that. Just
you can't use it, but it's yours.
Wait, after it's given as a gift...
I'll give you an example. One second. If I have grain that I didn't separate truma and meiser and everything, right? I'm not allowed to eat it. Correct? Can you steal it from me?
Yes.
It's mine. I can't eat it, but that doesn't make it not mine. I can't eat a table either. That doesn't mean you can steal it.
That's right.
Before you separate it,
it's yours.
It's yours, you just can't eat it. But it didn't become God's money yet. I didn't separate Maaser Sheni yet. Okay. Even if I separate Maaser already to the Levim, whatever. I need to separate Maaser Sheni, correct? So the Gemara says, Rav Meir is going to hold, even though there's Maaser Sheni money in here, somehow, but as long as it wasn't separated, it's not separated. You can benefit, you can't eat it.
How can you benefit?
Why not?
Give it as a gift.
Oh, just as a gift.
I can give it as a gift. I can sell it.
You can sell it, but you have to
before
tell
your master can you
correct, you have to tell me, but so what? I can still sell it.
Yeah.
Before the first separated, you can sell it. I don't think so.
Yes, you could.
You could.
It's not asibah, no.
So
you can't eat it.
Before he gave it away, it was 10%, but after it's a gift, he has to. The guy
you
has
you cannot have benefit if it's.
No, I didn't separate the 10% yet. When they give it to you, you have to separate the 10%.
So the
and if you want to redeem it for money, you have to add another 25% on top of it.
You cannot have benefit after you do Maaser Sheni.
After you separate Maaser Sheni, Rav Meir holds his God's money. Before you separate it, the portion that you separated becomes God's money.
The money that you have has a mass inside. It's not clean money.
But that's what Rav Meir holds. He says, Matana shalei hurmu. As long as it wasn't separated yet, it's considered not separated. See, there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is, there's whatever it is, X amount of bushels. I need to give 10% of this.
Yes,
so 10% is somewhere Maaser Sheni.
Yeah, so inside.
So Gemara says, no, it's not true. It's not Maaser Sheni. Until you separate Maaser Sheni, it's not Maaser Sheni. Once you separate Maaser Sheni, that becomes God's money. Rav Meir says, if it's God's money, you cannot do kedushin with it. But this case is different. The person got it before he separated Maaser Sheni. So therefore, it's not God's money yet.
None of it.
Even though inside there is the 10% that you're going to... But until you separate it, it's not there.
So if you buy vegetables...